You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Can we play a game on this show one day, like Rick or Cher?
And you'd say!
Give away, like, prizes and stuff? Do we have any prizes?
Not a single
anything.
One. Nope.
Do we have a coffee cup lying around? Well, we know how that worked out the last time.
I'm sure someone has a beautiful game-used RJ Santillo Yeti somewhere.
Up to you, RJ.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Right after the feds get done with Otani, they're coming after you.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Rick, belt it out. Come on.
How do you know this is me singing anyway? That could be me.
Rick or Cher. We got to do that one day. Like, seriously, pick the day we're playing the game. Rick or Cher.
All right, listen, I'm not afraid to sing on the show.
No, you know you're not. That's why we love you. DNR, Dan and Rick, hour number two on this Monday, right here on 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776, Raymond and RJ here as well. He gets into it. He gets into it. We're going to hear from the coach of the Jets coming up approximately, well, we may not actually hear from him then, but the media that are assembled down in Florida at the owners' meetings, the old Ritz-Carlton, fancy schmancy. He's going to talk along with the other AFC coaches in about 45 minutes. Their, you know, annual little powwow during the owners' meetings. And first chance we get to hear the Jet coach talk this offseason after what has been, I mean, let's face it, if you're a Jet fan, there's very, very little not to like with the way that they've gone about their business this offseason. They haven't broke the bank for anybody. They haven't mortgaged their future for anyone. They are very highly incentivized deals that clearly show you, Rick, they're going all in this season. And they clearly have to. When you have an aging quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, and more importantly, there's a lot of people in that building, the coach, the general manager probably, a lot of other staffers that if they do not win this year, they're probably going to be ex-Jets employees, let's face it.
All right, so I wanted to ask you this, and I was looking forward to asking this. Define they have to win this year.
Well, you better make the playoffs.
Right, is that it?
Well, doesn't it go back to what we talked about last summer for the 23 season, right? Like, what constitutes a successful season for the Jets? Like, with Aaron Rodgers? Like, was it, remember the whole thing, Super Bowl or bust, which I think was ridiculous.
Crazy.
Right? So, is it you make the playoffs, have to win a playoff game, or if you go on the road as a division champion, let's say, you win a wild card game, lose a heartbreaker in round two, is that okay? Is that good enough? I don't know. I think you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. But right. You better make the playoffs.
Right. You have to make the playoffs. I mean, Woody said it without saying it, that they have to make the playoffs. I mean, I think it's going to be who you play and how it looks.
All right, how about this?
That's also going to be part of it.
Let me lay out a scenario for you.
Yeah.
10-7.
Okay.
Make the playoffs as a wild card. Rodgers plays 12 games. You need Tyrod to play the other five. Wow. And that's even a stretch to say that Tyrod could last five games, given his history. But okay, so you have to use two quarterbacks, but you somehow get into the playoffs and you're out in round one. You don't win a playoff game. Are you making mass changes, or are you going to try to run it back and hope for better health?
Well, I think it depends, right? I mean, yeah, Aaron only plays 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does Aaron want to come back and play again?
That's fair, because there's a good chance that might not be the case.
Right. So, I mean, that's the only reason why we're sitting here talking about, hey, you know, make the playoffs, maybe win a game, and then you can build off that momentum. Well, there's only going to be momentum if Aaron's committed to playing another season following this season, and he actually looks good as he's playing. You're right? I mean, because that was the big question about Aaron Rodgers. As excited as every Jets fan was, we all have this, and it's ingrained in our DNA. We're not supposed to have nice things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get Aaron Rodgers, and he'll be on the, you know, the downturn of his career just because of, you know, where his age is at. And the last time you saw him was, and, you know, people won't necessarily point to the fact he was dealing with a thumb injury, but the season he had in Green Bay, which I would argue if he gave us that exact same season, which was a bad one for him with our defense, would still be pretty damn good because our defense is that good and our quarterback play has been so bad. But you saw him in a must-win game at Lambeau Field lose to a Detroit Lions team that was playing for absolutely nothing. That's the last time you saw him. He wasn't coming off of the MVP season. That was the last time you saw him. He lasts four plays, and now at 40 coming off an Achilles, I think there are a lot of Jets fans that are nervous. Like, what version of Aaron Rodgers are we going to get? Because the only way this thing works is if we get a pretty damn good version of Aaron Rodgers.
No, it's fair, and you're going to have to give him enough incentive to want to come back and play.
Right.
Because, again, this is 2 years ago, even though it wasn't as debilitating as the Achilles this year, but he had the thumb injury 2 seasons ago. Last year it was the Achilles, and that required a pretty strenuous rehab. If he gets nicked up again this season, would he then want to have to go through another, hey, coming back from an injury, I got to make sure all this stuff works out again at his age? I'm not so sure, especially if he doesn't see light at the end of the tunnel and think this team could ultimately win a Super Bowl, because I think that's what Aaron's a smart guy, right? He knows all about the league and legacy and history, and I think a lot of what he's doing and wanting to still play is because he thinks that it could add to his legacy. I'm sure that he would love nothing more than to add another Super Bowl championship to his resume and then maybe go down the lore of the Mark Messiers of the world, like from hockey, who, you know, even though he won a handful of Stanley Cups with the Edmonton Oilers, the one that he's always remembered for is the one that he won with the New York Rangers. I'm sure that Rodgers probably hopes that he can write a story like that on his way to Canton, Ohio.
Right. I think when you look at, you know, what the Jets were offering him was the ability to, you know, have all the say that he didn't have in Green Bay. Right. Like, he wanted to be a part of those discussions. He wanted, you know, he wanted to feel like, you know, he had some kind of it's probably not the right word to use, but just
use it.
No, I don't want to say ownership, because there's plenty of people that call him like, oh, you know, Aaron Rodgers is holding this team hostage. But he's the GM and all those things, but he wanted to feel like he had some control of the decisions that were being made, or at least people would respect his opinion on things that were going to be done. So he got that with the Jets, and they pretty much done all those things for him. And on top of that, I think, you know, bang for your buck as far as what a second Super Bowl would do for him and where he would win it. Like, I would almost, and it's not the same thing just because LeBron went back to Cleveland, but LeBron's, you know, he wins the two in Miami, he wins the one with the Lakers, but the one that means the most and, you know, has, I think people will always point to, is the one when he goes back to Cleveland and wins that. If Aaron Rodgers goes from Green Bay and wins a Super Bowl for the Jets, what that would do for his legacy, right? Like, it ends up being two, right? It's not Montana's four. It's not close to Brady's seven. But, like, you take all the skill that you see when he plays football. Like, I mean, there are plenty of guys that play against him. Like, we've never seen anyone throw a football the way that Aaron Rodgers throws the football. And he's got the one in Green Bay, and then he finds a way to win a second one for the Jets. That's, you know, this dysfunctional organization that he comes in, cleans up, and wins a championship. What that would do for his legacy?
Right, 5.5 decades where nobody's been able to do it.
Right.
And, you know, a star-crossed franchise. I mean, look, Peyton only won two. Peyton won one with two different franchises or whatever, but nobody thinks of that second one with the Broncos because, remember, he had very little to do with it. That was a team that was fueled by defense, but nobody throws cold water on Peyton Manning's legacy when he's on every commercial that you see on TV. You're saying, oh, he only won two Super Bowls. No.
Well, he's more likable, though, too. Remember that.
Yeah, he's more likable. I'll give you that. But, you know, Eli's got two championships. I'm not putting him in the same category as those other two guys just as far as quarterbacks go, but no, it would mean a hell of a lot if that were to happen.
But then you do put, like, when we do the Mount Rushmore quarterbacks, or who's your top five quarterbacks, Peyton is higher on that list than Aaron is right now.
Oh, no doubt.
Right. So what I mean is now all of a sudden, does that change? If Aaron finds a way to win a Super Bowl for the Jets, what does that do as far as his, you know, I can't say greatest of all time, but just as far as like that upper echelon of the greats to play the game.
Well, you know what's funny about that? It's weird that you say that, because I never changed my outlook on Peyton Manning because he won that second Super Bowl. Like, I don't think any higher of him because he's now got that second ring. None whatsoever. But Aaron, because we still think at this stage of his career, he's maybe more at the top of his game or closer to the top of his game than Peyton was on his way out the door. You would think that he's gotten more to do with it if the Jets, let's say, are going to compete for a championship. I think it would change Aaron's legacy. It didn't for Peyton, but it would for Aaron. Is that strange? You know what I mean? That, like, one guy it would, the other guy it wouldn't.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And on top of that, I think Aaron also gets the benefit of everyone getting a chance to see what it actually looked like when he didn't play. Like, how bad it actually was. Because defense is great. right? Our defense is great, but when you have, you know, an offense is so disgusting as ours was, it's still tough to win like that. So, yeah, I mean, you get a chance to see how bad it was without him. And now if he steps on the field this year and plays well and we win and they somehow, you know, find a way to win a Super Bowl, which I mean, I would be naked running around the city. Yeah, like that would be for him. That would, I think that would all of a sudden now vault him up that list, and he would be one of those people that you, multiple Super Bowl winner, and you take his talent into account. It kind of puts him in that conversation, I think.
So, you know, the whole football world is down in Florida, right? You know, at the owners' meetings. So I got some news for you. You want some news?
I like news.
Okay. So I got some people down there, folks that I know, right? And how about this? Because the Jets, remember, they signed two, well, not signed. They signed one, traded for another, but two former starting offensive linemen from the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
Right? John Simpson, and then brought back Morgan Moses. A high-ranking, very high-ranking Baltimore Raven official told an associate of mine.
Oh, okay. You have associates.
I have associates a little bit. You. Yeah. Told an associate that as far as Morgan Moses coming back to the Jets, he's upset about that because they wanted to keep Morgan Moses, or this one individual wanted to keep Morgan Moses in Baltimore as opposed to paying the left tackle Ronnie Stanley, which they ultimately decided to do. How about that?
Wow. Look at us.
Ronnie Stanley's a good player, but, you know, unfortunately coming back from an injury. But yes, according to a high-ranking Baltimore official, wanted to keep Morgan Moses instead of giving that money to Ronnie Stanley. And you know what? You hope the Jets benefit from that. So maybe a nice, shrewd move by Joe Douglas.
Well, I think it's a good word to describe what Joe Douglas has done so far in free agency, because there were a lot of people that were calling this show that were upset. Like, what the hell is Joe Douglas
doing? Yeah, the first 2 days, because they didn't go out there and throw ridiculous money at free agents, which is not prudent as far as building a team.
No, I think there are a lot of people that, like, did Joe not get the, you know, the memo that he has to be all in, because if they don't win, he's probably going to get fired? And then, you know, he kind of stuck to his guns, exactly what he was going to do, played the market right, and ends up with, I mean, on paper, a much better offensive line. Much better offensive line. And then you add Mike Williams, and let's see if they add, you know, find a way to add Jadeveon Clowney, too.
Yeah, we'll see where that. I haven't heard anything about that. The visit last week, he was there, but haven't heard anything as far as, you know, where things stand with the negotiations. I'm sure that he's weighing a couple of offers, and he's going to circle back to, you know, wherever it's supposed to be. Now, I don't think he got a breakfast sandwich. I don't think Clowney got a breakfast sandwich. Clowney had lunch. Clowney had a nice lunch.
Well, he could have a brunch sandwich. He could have still had a little pork roll.
I don't know. Nice. I think it was more just lunch-centric. I don't think
a pork roll, a Taylor ham guy.
Don't know.
Big sticking point last week for some people.
Well, no, it should be. And that's a debate that's going to rage on, I think, as far as pork roll, Taylor ham. What side of the fence? You're a Jersey guy, Ray.
But I always called it pork roll.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't realize that people called it Taylor ham.
Yeah, I'm a Taylor ham guy.
Until I went to college.
Because you went to college in the north.
Correct.
That's why.
And a bunch of people there didn't think Central Jersey was a thing.
No, it's a thing. It's very much a thing.
It's a battle I still very much fight.
Are you passionate about this, Richard, in any way?
About pork roll?
Pork roll, Taylor ham?
No. Not as passionate as you guys. Well, it's a Jersey thing.
It is a Jersey thing.
Yeah.
But you could be Jersey by association.
I could be. I mean, it's tasty. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm a Taylor ham guy.
All right. I mean, I was told that the Taylor ham is the guy who invented it is something Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor.
No, it's definitely not Lawrence Taylor.
Definitely not Lawrence Taylor.
Although he's pretty free with his pork roll.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He made a joke.
I've heard most people say pork. I've heard a lot of pork roll in my time here.
I don't know if you knew this, by the way, but the DNR pregame party is back.
Oh, yeah.
The show is heading out to Publicans again in Manhasset on Long Island on Thursday, May the 2nd, then riding the LIRR in the train, not on top of the train, to Citi Field for the second annual pregame party ahead of Mets Cubs before going into the game at 1:10 p.m. and sitting in section 129. That's Thursday, May the 2nd at Publicans in Manhasset and then right to Citi Field. We'll see you there. You looking forward to that?
Oh, I can't wait. Cannot wait.
What's the weather going to be like May 2nd?
I hope it's going to be nice. It should be nice.
By the way, there may not be an opening day on Thursday as scheduled because the forecast is not all that promising. So we might have to have a little Mets opening day postponed to Friday.
Great.
It's possible.
That would be nice.
But hopefully it's a lot better than it is on May the 2nd than it could be on Thursday. So that should be a lot of fun. 800-919-3776. We haven't taken any calls yet. We're going to take some calls when we come back. A lot of football, and we'll get into the Giants as well. J.J. McCarthy had a pro day, and Rick, this might shock you. Okay, like prepare to be floored. But J.J. McCarthy, unlike any other player who has ever had a pro day in the history of pro days, had a fantastic one.
Good.
Are you shocked by that?
I'm not shocked. No, I'm not shocked.
Think about how bad you have to be to have a horrible pro day, because I don't think there's ever been one in the history of the world.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
They said Kim Mulkey on SportsCenter up on the TV. There's a part of me that almost believes, and there's supposedly this like very salacious Washington Post piece that's going to come out on her. It hasn't dropped yet, I guess, right? Because we would have probably seen it.
Yeah, probably, yeah. She's not happy about it.
Yeah, she tried to get ahead of the story by saying, like, I did not do what is in this story. Anyway, so do you think this maybe this is an attempt by the Washington Post to maybe drive some subscribers? Because isn't it behind a paywall?
Maybe.
Right? I mean, what if it's just a lot of fluff anyways, but it's just, hey, now that everybody's been talking about it for the last 48 hours, it's just going to maybe drive subscribership.
Yeah, but you think if it was a lot of fluff, she would have this kind of reaction to it?
But how does she know what's in it?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
did she just get like cliff notes or like the actual thing?
They probably, I mean, I would think they probably called her to comment on the story, no?
Who is the author of said piece? Do we know?
No.
We have no idea.
I do not know the author. I mean, I can try to find out who the author is.
Well, I don't expect you to find that stuff because you're a busy guy. Well, you're worried about your baseball predictions.
I found a way because I'm a technological savant. Yeah. I located my bracket, found that.
If you could do that, you could do anything.
Right.
You'll be writing code soon.
Who knows? RJ, you never know.
You'll be cracking the Shohei Ohtani mystery.
Whoever the reporter is, Dan, Mulkey said that they've been trying to contact her for 2 years.
Oh, 2 years?
So.
Yeah, this story's been in the writing.
Can't they just go to an LSU practice?
Well, she's not going to speak to them, Dan. It's not the, hey, can we see you? She's not going to answer the questions, Daniel.
Well, they could at least go. I mean, you just show up to get a credential and go.
Yeah, the reporter actually did go, and this was audio from that interaction.
I did not do what is in this story.
There's the first voice, and I like that. That was a good one.
That was a good one? You like that?
Yeah, Kim Mulkey doesn't have very nice things to say about it. She says,
do you want to hear from Kim Mulkey?
We're not going to let one sleazy reporter distract us from what we're trying to do.
Did she use the word sleazy?
Oh, she did.
She did?
Sleazy.
All right, I need confirmation on this. Here's Kim Mulkey calling out the Washington Post.
Former players have told me that the Washington Post has contacted them and offered to let them be anonymous in a story if they'll say negative things about me. The Washington Post has called former disgruntled players to get negative quotes to include in their story. They're ignoring the 40 plus years of positive stories that they have heard from people about me. But you see, reporters who give a megaphone to a one-sided embellished version of things aren't trying to tell the truth. They're trying to sell newspapers and feed the click machine. This is exactly why people don't trust journalists and the media anymore. It's these kinds of sleazy tactics and hatchet jobs that people are just tired of. I'm fed up, and I'm not going to let the Washington Post attack this university, this awesome team of young women I have, or me without a fight. I've hired the best defamation law firm in the country, and I will sue the Washington Post if they publish a false story about me. Not many people are in a position to hold these kind of journalists accountable, but I am, and I'll do it.
That sounds like a case for Salino and Barnes or something, right?
I don't know if it's Salino and Barnes. And we don't have, I mean, Dave called the D'Agostino a fraud, so, I mean, we can't use them currently.
She mentioned something about a megaphone. That's an easy, fast way to my heart. Like, if I was one of those players and some journalist came and said, hey, we'll give you a free megaphone if you talk about your coach, I would do it in a second.
Yeah, I don't think I'd mess with
Mulkey. I'd be bought that. Well, who wouldn't want a megaphone?
Barnes is no longer with us, by the way. Dan.
Barnes is no longer with us?
That's correct.
Really?
I thought that.
Oh, that's right. Wasn't it like a skiing accident or something?
It was a plane accident.
I think it was plane crash, yeah.
Did the plane crash on a ski slope?
Oh, my.
Why am I associating it with skiing? No, it's tragic. It's horrible. But why do I have, like, skiing in the back of my mind?
I don't know. I can't help you there.
I don't know. Is there another ski tragedy that you have kind of...
Salino's by himself.
Well, Sonny Bono, but that wasn't on the top of my mind.
I mean, I just...
I'd prefer we don't power rank.
Right.
Nobody's power ranking. What is that, Wednesday?
I don't want to... Listen, we don't need to be talking about a law firm who could hear this and come after us.
Great point.
Yeah.
Want to take some calls?
Sure.
That'd be great.
Anything at all.
We should, yeah.
Skiing calls at 800-919-3776. Let's say hi to Bob and Edison. He's first up here on 98.7. Bob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Bob.
Listen, I heard all the bouquets you were throwing Joe Douglas, and I'm not taking any of it. This is the guy who signed Roger Saffold as an offensive line reinforcement when we needed offensive linemen badly. This is the guy who retained Zach Wilson as the backup quarterback instead of a veteran quarterback. God forbid something happens to Aaron Rodgers. This is the guy who signed Trevor Siemian after waiting 4 or 5 weeks after the injury. This is the guy who signed Nicole Hardman as his main free agent who couldn't even get on the field. We were just praising Joe Douglas last year. You can't just throw him the bouquets. He doesn't deserve it. And last of all, for Woody Johnson, to raise ticket prices after having Jet fans watch insufferable offense the last 2 years is shameful. Shameful, Woody. That's all I got to say, guys. Enjoy your day.
Bob, thank you for the phone call. Well, a couple things here. Number one, I mean, look, Bob, you know, not happy that last year went the way it did. But a couple things. Number one, Roger Saffold, remember, was signed off the street like around Thanksgiving time last year or sometime in November. And he couldn't get off the practice squad. And there's a reason why a guy like Roger Saffold was available and still on the street that time of the season, Rick, because he wasn't healthy enough to play. And ultimately, he wasn't for the Jets. All right, so your options, if you're trying to fill your offensive line needs in November, you're not going to have a great lot to choose from. That's number one. You want to get on for the Zach Wilson thing? Look, we've been on that a million times. But you also had a quarterback who was on a team-friendly contract. That's number one. Who they weren't just going to kick him to the curb 2 years into his career. And they thought that he was going to be ready to step in if needed at some point. Now, they didn't expect it to be the whole season 4 plays in. I think that that's fair. Nobody was complaining about the Mecole Hardman signing when it happened, right? I mean, everybody thought that that was a stroke of genius. $4 million, one-year deal. Guy came from Kansas City, had a couple Super Bowl rings. He's going to make plays for this offense. But one thing led to another, and it was just a fantastic catastrophe, if I could use that oxymoron to describe the team and the offense specifically last year.
I want to know whose decision it was. I still have a hard time believing it was Joe Douglas's decision not to go out and address the backup quarterback position once Aaron went down.
There's a lot of layers to it. Okay, obviously there's a decision within the hierarchy. That's number one. But number two, and this is the point that, you know, I brought up while it was all unfolding last year. Remember something. If you're a backup I use the word backup quarterback. Now, you know, like, people don't, it's not on their business card. Hi, what's your name? Bob, what do you do? Backup quarterback. Everybody plays because you were a professional athlete, right? I read somewhere you played, right?
I think so, yeah.
You have an innate nature to compete, don't you?
I think.
Even if you can't, you still think you can. So every quarterback who fancies themselves worth a damn, why would you sign with the Jets knowing that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback? He is literally the franchise, much less the offense. So if you want to play and if you think you can be on the field and you could be better than a good number of quarterbacks around the league, why would you go to the Jets? Because barring an injury, you're not going to see the field at all. Right?
Well, no. I'm not saying going into the season with Zach Wilson as the backup quarterback. I'm saying once Aaron got hurt, once you realize that Zach couldn't play. I mean, the definition of a redshirt season is, which they told us Zach was going to get a redshirt season, was he wasn't going to play. So if the plan was you're not going to play because we don't think you're ready, you need to kind of take a break, watch from Aaron, reset,
right,
and then hopefully this thing works out as we move forward, which it probably wasn't going to anyway. Why all of a sudden now, four plays in, is he ready?
But what were the options that, like, in hindsight being what it is, like, and I can't believe we're even having this discussion again. Like, this is so water under the bridge as far as I'm concerned. It happened. It's done.
I'm with you, though.
Well, it's more to the fans. Like, what would you have wanted them to do at that point?
Try to save your season.
But how? What was the move?
Jacoby Brissett was available at the deadline. I mean, there were moves to be made. It was the year of the backup quarterback. Like, he could have done something.
But was Washington ready to part ways with Jacoby Brissett?
By the time we got to the deadline, yeah. He was one of them. I don't know. Did they try?
Well, I don't know what it would have cost. That's what I'm saying. We don't know. We weren't privy to those discussions.
I understand that, but there's only one person in the organization, because with decisions that are this big, it usually, like you said, hierarchy has it implicates there's ownership also involved in the decision, correct?
Right.
All right, so there's only one person that can't get fired if the season goes sideways and the Jets don't win, and that was Woody Johnson. You don't think that Joe Douglas, I mean, felt any... Like, how could Joe Douglas sit there and not feel any pressure? Like, oh, we have to do something here. We have to fix this because this is not good. Like, well, if we don't win enough games, will I be around? I don't know.
But remember something, too. Even if they went out there and brought in, let's say, said Jacoby Brissett, whoever it was, whatever quarterback that they brought in and was going to play, do you think they would have had any success whatsoever behind that offensive line the way that thing unfolded, too, throughout the season? Right.
More success than we had.
Well, all right, so you maybe win, what, one more game, if that? Right? And remember, they beat a couple of bad teams late in the season to get that record up to 7 wins.
Right. They barely beat the Giants. I get it. Right. I understand all that stuff. It just felt like once
And they won a mail-in game against the Patriots in a snowstorm in week 17 or week 18 or whatever the hell it
right.
is.
Right. But my problem is it felt like once Aaron went down, the entire franchise got paralyzed and didn't know what to do.
And it did.
And they punted on the season.
It literally ruined everything. And I said that as soon as it happened. Like, the building itself was like a funeral home for almost a week. Because
yeah,
everything
what does
that
say about the franchise, though?
Well, it says that everything that they put into the season, with all the hype, all the anticipation, and all the optimism, and from the fan base included, around the acquisition of Aaron Rodgers and what that was going to be able to exude this season, the fact that it all came crashing down four plays in, it's gut-wrenching.
I understand that, but there were plenty of teams that went through similar. Now, it wasn't four plays, and that... I don't understand.
Here's the thing. No team that needed a backup quarterback last year and had some guy come in and help them win games, or two guys, whatever it was, none of it happened right from the jump four plays into the season. None. Joe Flacco, let's put it this way. Joe Flacco, if he came off the couch week one and was signed by the Browns, he was not taking them to the playoffs if he had to play a full season. Joe Flacco rode in on the coattails of a team that had already won several games before he even arrived.
Right, I don't disagree with you. I'm not saying to jump in right away. Like, Zach already knew the system and everything else. I'm like, but at least bring someone in that's capable, that if it doesn't work, which everyone felt like it was inevitable anyway, that it wasn't going to work with Zach, because he's not that guy, at least have someone that now in the building, knows the offense, that you can go to. Tim Boyle stinks. You brought in Trevor Siemian. Like, it never felt like they addressed it the right way. And now to have the owner on top of it, come on and go, hey, yeah, we need a backup quarterback. Thanks, Woody. We all recognize that we need a backup quarterback.
Look, I don't disagree with you. I mean, obviously, we know that the move to Zach did not work. I don't think that they, in their wildest dreams, thought that maybe he would even have to step on the field. But then it happened four plays into the season, and they did not pivot and probably adjust as they needed to. But you know what? There were so many other things that fell apart around them that, in hindsight, even if you brought in that other guy, it probably wasn't going to work anyway, because the state of the offensive line, the state of the weapons that whatever quarterback it was going to be had at his disposal, they weren't going to be able to operate, at least to the level to get this team to the playoffs. I really believe that.
Yeah, but I think just maybe bringing someone in gives the team more hope than they had. Because you're right, it is. I mean, the fact that they beat the Bills in that first game when they lost Aaron, I couldn't believe it. And that's kudos to the team. It's kudos to Robert Saleh and the coaching staff keeping those guys together. Like, I give them tons of credit. But I also understand that those same guys in that locker room were the same guys that quit on Zach Wilson the year before, and they don't believe in him. So at least if you bring someone in that they feel like is a, you know, has the potential to be a better option, at least it maybe breathes some life into a locker room that's gutted because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is out for the season.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Rick, let's get back to the calls. A lot of people want to talk some football, and who can blame them? Ira's in Staten Island. He's next up here on 98.7. Ira, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you? And every point you guys brought up. But you know what, Rick? I can't keep on rehashing what happened last year. I mean, you know what, in 10 years when everybody writes their memoirs, we're going to find out the real truth. But I got to look going forward. And you know what, with Saleh speaking, and of course he's not going to go out and tell you he's going to blitz more, play more zero coverage. You know, whatever he says, it's pretty much flub talk. But at the end of the day, what Douglas has done, okay, and who knows how it's going to work out, I think he's been, done the best job possible with what he had to deal with. Now everything circles. Of course, Rodgers has to stay healthy, and so do other people. But now everything points to Saleh, and now he got to step up his game. And you know, I've had issues with him, game management, having teams prepared at certain times. It's just now it's time. That's it. The excuse is over for him. He's got to win now. And Dan, that proposal that you gave Rick earlier, 10-7, losing the wild card, that don't cut it for me. I mean, I'm realistic. It's not a Super Bowl team, but they got to win a playoff game. They don't win a playoff game, and you don't know where Aaron Rodgers is at. I got to think twice what I'm going doing for the following year.
You know something, Ira? You just jog my memory for a second, and I thank you for the phone call, and I'll throw this out there to Rick and to everybody. Here's another little tidbit I have for you from the meetings down there in Florida and talking to my associate. A group of media members that cover one of the teams in the AFC East.
Yeah.
Actually think that the Jets are the team to beat in the division this year.
Wow.
How about that?
That's interesting.
Now, it doesn't get you anywhere, but I'm just saying that is the prevailing thought within the division amongst those that cover it.
Right, but and it all comes back to the same person every single time. And it's not Robert Saleh, it's Aaron Rodgers. It is. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. The reason people feel that way is because we have a really good defense. Jeff Ulbrich is a really good defensive coordinator. And Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. I mean, that's why you have guys that want to come play for the Jets, though, is because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. Is as polarizing as he is, I mean, the people that can't stand him, don't like his thoughts on ayahuasca, and all these other stuff that he does, around the league, players recognize how good he is at what he does. He's a savant. He really is. And people want the... Mike Williams was talking about it. Like, the things he can learn from Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's... He is still that guy. And now we have to see him, and I guess, you know, from all accounts, you know, I think there's a report earlier by Ian O'Connor that he's seen him, and he looks like he's in great shape. He's just coming back from his ayahuasca retreat. He's with Von Miller and Poyer and those guys. And he's a smart guy. You said it. Like, he understands what's at stake for him right now and what this does for his legacy, either positively or what it does for it negatively.
But in a weird way, because Jet fans have been down this road before, right, where they have been led down the primrose path. Like last year, you don't even have to go back that far. Just go back to last year. And you thought that it was all going to crystallize, and it was all going to lead to where you just dreamed that one day you would end up. And then tragedy strikes four plays into the season, right? And so I think that there is a little bit of that wait and see that you even have to take into this season. And fans, I think, are even going to operate that way. Rick, because everything was set up perfectly last season until it wasn't. Right?
Right. Here's my concern, though, Dan. And this is why I went back and I didn't mean to rehash what happened last season. But I think how last season unfolded and how the Jets decided to handle it afterwards really highlighted some of the ineptitude that is a huge problem with this franchise, starting from the very top. Like, we got a real chance to see how bad Nathaniel Hackett is at his job. He's not very good. So if this thing is going to work, it's going to be pretty much all on Aaron. It's not going to be like Nathaniel Hackett and his genius that helps Aaron Rodgers take this to the next level, or Robert Saleh is a great head coach that's going to help Aaron Rodgers take it to the next level. It's going to be on Aaron Rodgers. Right? Like, as good as Patrick Mahomes is, Patrick Mahomes gets to a certain level because Andy Reid is his head coach. Right? That's a part of it. That's not what the Jets don't currently have that. So, I mean, as much as Ira wants to say this is all on Robert Saleh, this is all on Aaron Rodgers. If this thing works, it's going to be because Aaron Rodgers is that good.
All right, let me ask you the question because you threw it out there earlier. What to you would suffice as being a season good enough to where you warrant running it back again for another year with the same cast of characters?
They have to make the playoffs. I would probably lean towards have to probably win a playoff game. But I think it all comes, again, down to the down to why Robert Saleh still has a job and Nathaniel Hackett still have jobs this year is because Aaron Rodgers wants them here.
When, how about this? I'll lay a scenario out there for you. Win a division, 11-6. Not a fluky. 11-6 is decent, right? Even though I don't know if 11-6 will win you a division. How about, all right, 12-5.
Yep.
12-5, you win the AFC East. You got a home playoff game. Joe Burrow comes in and beats you. Last second field goal. Good or not good?
Not good, but I think probably good enough because Aaron wants those guys back. I mean, it depends on how Aaron plays. So what are you going to tell me? So
and
Aaron
that's
tells
the wild
you,
card.
See, if Aaron, if you win 12 games, Aaron plays great, right? Mm-hmm. And he leaves the field, and you have a you have a lead, and then Joe Burrow marches down the field. You end up losing. I mean that Aaron Rodgers, I assume, wants to come back. So Aaron Rodgers wants to come back. He just won 12 games. You won the division. Is he going to say, okay, now I'm good with you firing Robert Saleh and replacing Nathaniel Hackett? Is that going to help him get you over the hump next season by having a new head coach and a new system? I would say probably not.
Don't know what type of a toll it's going to take, right? Like on the season, on him, the players, the coaches, everybody. Like if it is so many ups and downs, injuries, adversity, you don't know what type of a road you're going to be on. And that's why it's, I mean, look, we're doing a radio show. We have to sit here and talk about it, but it's impossible to project how many months into the future what it's going. None of us could have predicted what last season was going to be like. I mean, you can play the win-loss game and what your record's going to be, but everything that goes on behind the scenes, that's what we have no way of knowing how it's going to unfold.
No, but I would say if you win 12 games,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume that Aaron plays most of those games for you to win 12 games, right? He has a really good season. Job's not finished yet. Still feels like he can. Like, I don't think he's going to walk away after that, which would make my answer, if Aaron wants Robert Saleh and Nathaniel Hackett back, they'll be back. Like, if he's good enough still, they're going to allow him to make that decision. Because what's the better option? We're going to move off Aaron after a 12-win season? Or we're going to keep Aaron and tell him, hey, listen, the last couple of years we've had say, not so much anymore. We're going to change the head coach and we're going to change the other. No, he's not going to say yes to that.
Right. Before we get to around the league, I want to take this call. Our buddy Kyle from Selden is calling. Remember he called from the delivery room?
Yeah, they had a baby. His wife swore on the radio. It was great.
Absolutely.
Lauren, how are you feeling?
Oh, no. So we had some swearing from Lauren. Now let's get an update. Kyle, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Kyle?
Nothing much. Just wanted to give you guys an update. Lauren's doing really well. Baby's doing really well. He's a little cranky in the morning and at night, for that matter. But everybody's doing really well, thank God.
What'd you name him?
Cameron.
Nice.
Is that with a K or with a C?
Nah, with a C.
With a C?
Yeah.
What about a middle name?
Asher.
Oh, Asher. Nice. How'd you pick Asher. That one?
Yeah. My Lauren actually picked it out. And I thought it was a good idea. I did too. When she said the name, I thought it was awesome.
Kyle, you recognize that Dave's going to be he's going to be very disappointed with you.
Yeah, I know. You know what? And Dave, the name Dave is special to me because my best friend's name is Dave. But obviously I'm not going to name him Giants. I'm a Cowboys fan. I told you guys already. Right. So that's definitely not happening.
Yeah, he was. I think he was fully expecting after the conversation and the time we spent together that his name somewhere Dave would be involved in the child's name.
But Kyle, I think that's good that you didn't go with Dave because you said your best friend's name is Dave. So I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of functions, gatherings where you and the baby and your best friend are all going to be together. So it's too much. You say, hey, Dave. And then the best friend is turning his head. The kid's turning his head. You don't know who's being called at. You know what I mean? So I think it's good you keep it just to one Dave in your inner circle.
I'm a hero.
I think that's a good point there.
Right? I mean, that Rick, don't you think that makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm thinking Dave doesn't really believe in making sense. I think he would have hoped that it was a kid, Cameron David or something like that. He's going to be mad.
Well, you're a Cowboy fan, though. Did you think about Dak or Dakota or something like that?
How much longer is Dak going to be around at this rate?
What rate?
I don't know. I mean,
well, I'm not getting his contract figured out.
Oh, I thought you meant something else.
No. You're an idiot.
No, I like Dak. Dak, the code is actually a really nice name. I like it. I think it's a solid girl name, even though, you know, obviously Dak's my guy. But we went with Cameron just because, I mean, I just think it's an awesome name.
It is pretty cool. It is
cool. I
love it. Well, Kyle, you know what? Congratulations to you, to Lauren, and to Cameron. And we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. There's our buddy Kyle and Selden calling in. Update on the baby, on the mother. But you're okay with the name. You like that. Cameron Asher.
Listen, I like the name. I'm just telling you right now, I've been with Dave long enough. He's going to be disappointed that his name is not involved in this.
That's almost like Costanza, like when you want him to, you know, like giving the baby name advice. So that's what he's up to now. That's his thing.
We already asked every person that calls in. We had a run where we had people calling in from on their way to the hospital in labor. We had them call. I mean, they were getting ready to, I mean, deliver the baby. And he always said, could we throw Giants in there, like middle name Giants? And he's like, no, I'm a Cowboys fan. Well, I'm not going to name my kid Giants.
Just,
what's wrong with you?
Like the word Giants or just random Giants, like guys who played for the Giants?
No, Giants. So it would be like
the word Giants.
Yeah, right. Dan Giants Grasso.
Why would anybody do that?
Because he wanted to do
why
it.
Why would Dave do anything?
Right.
But if Dave wouldn't do it himself, why would he then want somebody else to do it? Like, I think, and then make others do it.
I think Dave fought hard for it, but he couldn't quite get Cherry to acquiesce to that.
It's what he wanted.
It's pathetic.
Both his kids would be Giants.
Giants 1, Giants 2.
Yeah, or Ben Giants and Alex Giants.
Buddy of Wits, who played in the NHL's.
Buddy Newitz?
No, a Buddy of Wits.
Oh.
This is what I deal with.
Yeah, Buddy Newitz.
Yeah, Buddy Newitz.
He played for Hartford.
Right, exactly. He's a Whaler.
He was a third liner.
Yeah.
You know, give you 12 minutes a night, but he was, you know, he'd go into the corners and dig the puck out. He was a tough guy. Let's talk. There you go. Let's talk some football. It is time for a little segment we like to call Rick Around the League. Oh, yeah.
It's time to go around the league.
Let's do it and talk a little football. Hey, you know what? The draft is only a month away. It is going to be right around the corner. And you know what? The New England Patriots, they're sitting there third overall. There is a lot of transition happening up in Foxborough. Gone is Brady. Gone is Belichick. Gone are a lot of other guys as well. So who is going to – Mac Jones is gone. Who is going to be the next face of that franchise? Well, Gerard Mayo is the new head coach. And, Rick, he said that New England is still open to trading the number 3 overall pick. And he said, obviously, quarterback is definitely a priority. With that being said, we're still open to any type of deals that come our way.
How would you feel about that, though, if you're a Patriots fan at this point?
Trading down?
Well, no, yeah, trading down, having the opportunity. And again, I don't – what we hear is different than, you know, what we get a chance – what those guys get a chance to see in person, meet these guys and everything else. But this is supposed to be a really good quarterback draft. We've heard that plenty of times before. It hasn't worked out. One guy's good. One guy's okay. One guy stinks. You know, it's a crapshoot. We get it. But still, to have the third overall pick with an opportunity to address a position that, you know, you're still trying to find since Brady left. Mac Jones is gone. It's not going to be Bailey Zappi, right? So, I mean, you got a perfect situation bringing in Jacoby Brissett where why wouldn't you use the third overall pick to address that position?
One thing, I think a cardinal sin that you have in building a team is reaching for a quarterback.
Right.
So if they don't believe in any, hey, maybe the Patriots, the way they're scouting these guys, maybe they don't think that one of those three is worth a top 3 selection. If they trade down a couple of spots and they still feel they can get a quarterback who is just as good, if not better, why not do it?
Yeah, because I don't know if you're going to be able to trade back a couple spots. I feel like, I mean, the way J.J. McCarthy is going right now, it feels like there's a real chance if it's not the Giants, it could be the Vikings that end up trading up. So if it's one of those teams that trades up to 3, there still could be a team that trades up to 4 to get the other one. And you might not, I mean, unless you like, you know, Penix or Bonix later in the draft.
Penix or Bonix.
If you like one of those two, I guess, but I don't know, you have the third overall pick. There's going to be, I mean, from everything we're being told, there's 3, maybe 4. I don't know. Seems like the time to do it.
4 are going in the top 6 of this draft. I'm more comfortable with that with each passing day.
If the Patriots take a quarterback at 3, or whoever trades up to 3 and takes a quarterback, there's a real chance that 4 go in the top 4.
That's never happened before.
Like, what do you think Minnesota's doing?
Minnesota's making moves. Minnesota's at least put themselves in position to do something like that.
Right.
Otherwise, why make that trade?
Exactly right. So, I mean, unless it's been, I'll tell you what, if we get to the draft and J.J. McCarthy, if this thing unfolds where J.J. McCarthy's still sitting there at, we find out that Joe Shane was never really interested, and the reason why he put all this out is because he wanted one of those wide receivers, good for Joe Shane.
You mentioned J.J. McCarthy, right? He had the pro day on Friday, and he had a moment in said pro day and the workout that made a lot of people think back to a Zach Wilson pro day once upon a time at BYU, where he rolled left, threw across his body, 65-yard dart right down the field, and it made people feel a little nostalgic. Now, we know things haven't worked out that way for Zach since he's been an NFL quarterback. However, but the Vikings, you mentioned the Vikings, right? Their GM or their head coach, neither one of them was at the pro day for one J.J. McCarthy. But they sent their quarterback coach, Josh McCown, the former Jet quarterback, as we know. J.J. McCarthy is going to be taken in the top six of this draft. I am very confident in that assertion.
Right. I think it's just a question as to where and who really loves him. Because from everything I heard, Josh McCown, now again, they call it lying season for a reason, but people want to connect dots, which you should try to do, is that Josh McCown coached Drake May in high school. And he's now the quarterback's coach for the Minnesota Vikings. So is that the guy that they want? Then they feel like they can get up to three. If it goes Caleb Williams, Daniels, could they get up to three and take Drake May? And if they don't get Drake May because the Patriots take him, are they happy taking J.J. McCarthy? But yeah, you're right. I mean, it feels like whoever wants that fourth guy is going to have to trade up over the Giants to get him.
Those two teams, like the Vikings, the New England Patriots, they have their bridge quarterbacks, right?
Yep.
Sam Darnold's in Minnesota. Jacoby Brissett is in New England. So it doesn't matter who they draft. Whichever one of these guys they take in the first round, even though it seems like it will be a quarterback, the rookie still might not start week one, depending on if they want to bring him along slowly.
And they probably shouldn't, dude. You know, I mean, you've covered the Jets for long enough. You know, I don't think we really take the time to recognize how hard that transition from college to the NFL is at that position. The amount of stuff that they need to learn, not to mention trying to earn the respect in that locker room where it's just a natural position of leadership before you're actually ready to go out there and play at a high level.
Robert Saleh speaking right now down in Florida. We'll have some sound for you a little bit later on here, but one of the things he has said here among his initial comments is that Aaron Rodgers, remember, on the road to recovery from the Achilles, he will be good to go for the start of spring practices. So A-OK as far as the rehab is concerned, and we'll play that sound for you when we have it available. Mike Tomlin, Steelers coach, never had a losing season. He knows how to get the best out of his guys. He said that Russell Wilson, who was at the NCAA tournament over the weekend, by the way, watching one of his schools, NC State, play and make it to the Sweet 16, he is in the quote-unquote pole position to be the Steelers' starting quarterback over Justin Fields, even though Fields will have an opportunity to compete. That's what Tomlin said. Do you see these rumblings that are being thrown out there from so-called executives from other teams? And again, I'd love to know how they are in the know on such matters. But apparently there is no allegiance that the Steelers have to Russell Wilson, according to these reports, that if Russell Wilson has a horrible training camp and a horrible preseason, that they would just go ahead and cut him before the season starts. I mean, I find that really, really hard to believe.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, I think it was reported when they traded for Justin Fields that they called Russell Wilson and said, hey, don't worry, you're still going to be the starter or have pole position, whatever Mike Tomlin wanted to call it. But yeah, I saw those same reports. Financially, they're paying him, vet minimum. He doesn't play well. Okay, Justin Fields is our guy. We move off Russell Wilson and let Justin Fields be the guy.
Well, don't you, you know what's funny? The way it all unfolded last year, Russell Wilson statistically had a good season for the Denver Broncos. Like, if you put those numbers and that production that he had for Denver on a lot of teams in the NFL, that's a playoff team. But Denver had a multitude of other issues, which is what held them back. But, if you take that Russell Wilson season from a year ago with the Pittsburgh Steelers next year, they're going to be pretty damn good, don't you think?
Yeah, compared to what they had?
Of course.
What they were getting from the other quarterbacks, absolutely. See how it fits with Arthur Smith. I mean, Russell Wilson clearly did not fit well with Sean Payton or what Sean Payton was trying to do.
But what was he? Was it 26-5? Am I just making numbers up
head? No, he had more. He had 26, but I think it was 26-8 or 9.
It was still single digits. Not bad. So
the
TD and INT wasn't bad.
But you could just tell, though, dude. Some of their interactions on the sideline.
Oh, I know, yeah. And he was a little bit free giving up the memory. He had some fumble issues, too, like the game against the Jets. He put the ball on the ground a couple of times. So there's a lot that goes into it here. But if you're in a – look, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a lot better of an organization and an operation than the Denver Broncos are at this stage of the game. You know, there's a reason that Mike Tomlin, as I said, never has had a losing season. So you inject Russell Wilson into that culture, I think that you're going to be winning games. I would be very surprised if the Steelers are not a playoff team this year.
Right, because they're the Steelers.
Right.
They never finish under 500, and they actually get some decent quarterback play with that defense. And if T.J. Watt can stay healthy, you're right. I just think it was probably hard, too, in Denver as Sean Payton's trying to clean that thing up. Like, Russell Wilson already had made his first impression on his teammates. Right, so that would be hard to all of a sudden, you know, change the minds of the guys that were already in there when he had his own office and everything else. Like, he was above everybody. But, yeah, 26-8, 3,000 yards, 66% of his, you know, completed 66% of his throws. I mean, that's not a bad season by any means.
Do you think
Jets would have taken that last year?
How do you think Justin Fields feels about all this? Like, do you think that Justin Fields is under the impression that he's going to actually have a legitimate shot to win the job?
Yeah. Yeah, I bet in his mind he probably thinks he's better right now than Russell Wilson is.
Oh, yeah, he better, or else otherwise why is he even on the team?
Right, and I also think that there's probably going to be, as far as which quarterback will probably create better relationships with his teammates, I would say it's probably Justin Fields, especially the way you heard the Bears guys talk about him.
Yeah, because they don't think Russ is genuine.
Right, he's a phony. And he thinks he's like, I mean, he's above everyone else. He's the quarterback.
Nobody ever said that about Rick DiPietro in the Islanders locker room. Never.
No, I was a big team guy.
Of course you were.
I shouldn't say that because towards the end, because my relationship with the owner, that kind of got a little dicey, but.
And you carried that with you into the locker room?
No, but just I didn't carry it, but I think it was just probably assumed.
That you weren't a team guy because you and the owner were not seeing eye to eye?
No, the owner and I were seeing two eye to eye. My relationship with the owner was too close, which
gotcha.
Kind of put me in a weird spot with the rest of the team.
You were like the mole.
Not the mole. No, not the mole, but like, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
So let's see. I'm trying to give you some credit that you're this great team guy, beloved in the locker room, whatever, and you're the one now throwing cold water on it and maybe providing some truths, which I didn't even want to get into.
No, I was a great team guy. I would do anything for my teammates. These guys know that. But I'm just saying, like, it, not my own fault, but I think when I was done that there might have been a couple guys that felt a certain way with how close I was with the owner. Just like there were certain guys in the locker room that felt a certain way that, you know, Alexei Yashin was so close to the owner.
Right. Well, he paid him a lot of money and he didn't produce.
Right. And then they made him the captain. Right. It's a weird dynamic when you have, I'm sure Dallas, the Cowboys deal with this too, when the owner has such close relationships with the players. It's a weird dynamic sometimes.
When was the last time you communicated with Alexei Yashin?
Oh, it's been a long, long time.
Have you thought about him at all?
No. I mean, occasionally, but nothing. No, I haven't seen him in forever.
Do you think he thinks about you?
No.
You sure about that?
Doubt it. Why would he think about me?
Ray, when was the last time you thought about Alexei Yashin?
Can't say that I've thought about Alexei Yashin.
Ever. Me neither. I'm just being honest. Hey, by the way, you're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM, New York. Let's move on. Hey, how about Shaq Barrett? Shaq Barrett, he was a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Now he signed with the Miami Dolphins. No state taxes down in Florida. It's a beautiful thing, right? Do you know that he said, because he told CBS this, Richard, that he was very close signing with the Jets before he ended up in Miami?
I did see that, yeah.
Very close.
Very close.
And that would have been another master stroke by Joe Douglas, would it not have been?
A lot of stroking, yep.
Master stroking.
It's the best of the best stroking.
But you know something? Like, I, you know, getting back to the Joe Douglas stuff, I made this point the other day. The way Joe Douglas so far has gone about free agency, isn't there a little bit of a comparison to what David Stearns did this offseason with the Mets?
I guess so, yeah. I don't love the comparison because, I mean, you're still talking about a team that's going to be, you know, scratching to maybe get a wild card.
No, not about expectations. I'm talking about acquiring players. Like, nothing to where you mortgage the future,
right,
is what
I
I'm
understand.
Saying.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. But there is no future, though. Joe Douglas will not have a future. Who cares if he mortgages the future if he's not around to deal with the future?
Okay, so let's rewind then.
David Stearns is in year one. There's no expectations. The owner told you pretty much that we're taking a gap year anyway. Woody Johnson said pretty much you have to make the playoffs.
So they're probably telling you then, I mean, by the way that they've gone out and making moves, they think that we run it back, we keep some of our guys healthy that maybe weren't available last year, make a few additions here and there, and we think we're going to be good to go. That's essentially what the Jets are telling you.
That's what they're telling you. And then that could also make you a little bit nervous, like, what does the rest of the league know about Tyron Smith that we don't? When it turns out it was only Dallas and the Jets, and he took that kind of offer. When he actually stayed, for the most part, pretty healthy last season and had a really good season. Why weren't there more teams trying to sign him? Right? That stuff, like the negative part of you as a Jets fan, will point to that stuff.
Maybe they wanted more certainty at that all-important position. Whereas the Jets, you're like, hey, we've had nothing but uncertainty, so what the hell should change?
Right. It's a risk you run. Like, you bring up David Stearns. Could the Mets be a wild-card team if everything goes right? Yeah. Like, you took low-risk, high-reward flyers on Luis Severino. You bring in Manaea. Like, if those guys pitch well, if it was just, hey, Luis Severino was tipping his pitches and he pitches really well, yeah, I mean, you have a legitimate chance to be a wild-card team. But that's, you don't know. There's no certainty to that. If I'm Joe Douglas, I would crave certainty at this moment. Or more certainty, knowing that my job is on the line. David Stearns' job is not on the line.
Robert Saleh said the Jets will obviously add another quarterback to the room behind Tyrod Taylor and Aaron Rodgers. So there you go. You got that.
They're going to end up drafting one.
Yeah. Not in the first round, obviously. Maybe.
Well, obviously.
I don't know how early, too.
That was one of Joe Douglas's great draft, but James Morgan. It was a well-utilized draft pick.
Where is James Morgan these days? Is he even like an XFL guy?
I don't even know.
Or
there's no XFL anymore.
Well, it's UFL, right?
They've merged.
This weekend, opening day. Looking forward to it. Anthony Becht, go Battlehawks.
Yeah, they signed like the guy that sang the Eminem.
Cooper, what's it? Cooper, is it Cap?
Yes.
RJ? You've now brought up a third thing that was among RJ and my discussion before the show.
That's because I'm in your mind.
You are. You're hovering everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. You are so all-knowing and powerful. God bless you. You're
Master
like Yoda.
Stroker.
All right, last one here for the Around the League. Troy Vincent. Remember him? He was a first-round pick back in the day.
Yep.
Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. No, yeah, Wisconsin, right?
Okay, hey, look, get ready. You got Wednesday, bud.
Right, RJ, I'm not telling tales out of school. Ray, Troy Vincent, Wisconsin. Right, Wisconsin Badger?
I think that's right.
I get him and Terrell Buckley confused. Terrell Buckley was Florida State. Troy Vincent, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Troy Buckley was definitely Florida State.
Yeah, and Vincent was Wisconsin. There's some rule changes that could go into effect for this upcoming season, right?
Yeah.
Vincent said the competition committee proposal to revamp the kickoffs should gain enough support to be approved. Now, what's going to happen with this new proposal, right? The ball is still going to be kicked from the 35-yard line.
They changed it, yeah.
But the receiving team would line up beginning on their own 35-yard line. Now, if you watched the XFL last year, it's essentially a lot of that, where nobody is going to be able to move except for the kicker and the guy who's receiving the ball, the kick returner.
There's two of them, though. They'll have two back there, yeah.
They'll have two. And so nobody is allowed to move. You can't get a running start until the ball is received. And what they're trying to do is, of course, eliminate the collisions that happen when everybody is running full speed right down the field. And the opposing team would line up 5 yards away on the receiving team's 40. Kicking team players cannot move until the ball hits the ground or the player in the landing zone or the end zone. The landing zone is going to be the area between the receiving team's goal line and its 20-yard line. You like the landing zone idea?
Oh, I like the idea. I was telling the guys, I was listening to McAfee. So the special teams coordinator for the Saints was
Darren Rizzi.
Yeah, I was on explaining it. I guess there's been one change. So initially, if the ball flies directly into the end zone, and by the way, the ball is going to be live. So ball goes into the end zone, you still have to down it. Right? So the ball is still going to be alive, which is a change from what we've seen over the last couple of years. But it was supposed to be, ball goes directly into the end zone for a touchback, it would come out to the 35. I think they've changed that now to the 30 instead of the 35.
Correct. And a lot of it has to do with these with the zones and so on and so forth.
Well, they didn't want it to be so penal. That if the ball does go into the end zone, like if you're trying to avoid, like you're scared that there could be a big kickoff return and you still want to kick it into the end zone, at least now it's the 30 instead of the 35.
So they didn't want it to be as punitive as what you're saying.
Right.
And you used a different word.
I used penal.
Yeah.
Well, you had stroking on my mind. This is your fault. I blame you.
Don't blame me.
No, you were supposed to keep me in check this week, and it's off to a rough start.
Well, I mean, it's only what? We're in the third hour of the first day. A couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact, it's funny speaking about all this rule stuff. A couple of weeks ago, I was up at the NFL offices over on Park Avenue, visiting a couple of buddies of mine. And they were actually, I was talking to somebody there about these rule changes and the different things that are going into effect and the hip drop tackle thing, the tush push, and all these different amendments that they were in the process of kind of changing in the rule book. So, yeah, I mean, this is an ever-evolving type of thing as far as the league.
Well, it's an exciting play that you'd like to see. I mean, he was saying that there, and John Withrop got all upset with me. He's like, well, there's not really added plays because of the time and everything else. I'm like, listen, I'm telling you what the guy who made the rule is saying. But he said between touchbacks and fair catches and everything else, there were 2,000 or so plays last year that didn't amount to really having being a play. So they think now this new rule, like 85% of those will actually turn into real plays now.
Well, I mean, they want to encourage kickoffs. They just want them to be safer.
Right.
Nobody, I mean, because they, like, remember, the thought was like, why even have a kickoff? You might as well just start like at a certain. Some people that are advocating for it to go away completely, you just say, why don't you just begin at a certain, you know, yard line? But no, you want the kickoff. That's an exciting part of the game, and the league would certainly like to keep it in there. They just want to make sure that it's safe. So if this new rule does it, be my guest. Because normally, like, if we're just watching a game, you expect the ball to be kicked through the end zone. That's how it's been for the last couple of years, and it's a touchback, and it's like, okay, boring. Let me watch, you know, when first down happens. When this whole thing kind of changed and they made it easier for there to be a touchback, remember, I think Belichick was one of the first coaches. I don't know how many years ago this was when they changed the rule. But I remember Belichick was like one of the first coaches to where he would actually coach up his kickers not to just boot the ball through the end zone and to give into what the league wants you to do, but to coach them to kick it to where it lands between the goal line and, let's say, the 10-yard line, right to where they're going to be forced to bring the ball out. And then hopefully your coverage team gets down there to where you drop the guy before he even gets to the 20-yard line, right. So you win the field position battle.
Right, of course. Well, that's what you'd like to do. Right? If you can avoid having the ball back out to the 25, you're going to try to avoid doing that.
Kickoffs are, I mean, you think about, like, there's few plays in the game that are as exciting as a kickoff return that goes to the house. I mean, you talk about a momentum changer. I don't care when it is. But imagine, like, starting a game with an opening kickoff touchdown, especially if it's, like, the home team. The place is going absolutely crazy. I mean, those are huge, huge shifts of momentum into a game. And I think fans welcome that.
Of course they do. They want as much excitement as possible.
It also keeps a job.
That's the point.
I mean, people are, you know, just returners. They're specialists or whatever. I mean, you're taking jobs away. The Players Association wouldn't be all in on this.
No, of course not. Just think how exciting it could be, like when you throw a Hail Mary and it gets returned for a touchdown. For Dolphins fans. That was great.
All right, so that's our Around the League here.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.